people do not decide their futures. They decide their habits, and their habits decide their futures. It's really the truth. Your results are just a lagging measure of your habits. And Warren Buffett said it really well. The habits of our lives are like chains that are too loose to be noticed until they're too tight to be broken.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today we have a very, very special guest on, Jeff Woods. Jeff, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So everyone, Jeff is just an all-star, all-around rock star. He is the co-founder and president of Productive, a training company behind The One Thing, and the host of The One Thing podcast, which is in the top 5% of all podcasts in the world. Jeff is an advisor to executives ranging from small business owners to Fortune 500 CEOs, helping them design the future of work and create cultures where people are clear on what matters most so that they achieve extraordinary results. So Jeff, thanks so much for being here. Really excited to have you on the show. We talk a lot about real estate investing, the technical aspects, syndications versus the stock markets, investing in general, investing money. But we all know that there's a more important investment that we all need to be thinking about, and that is time. And I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah. So this was the idea behind The One Thing, as well as our organization, is time is our most valuable resource. The problem is most people are going through their days spending it with zero expectation of a return. When you think about the average person, they wake up, when it's finally time to get going with work, they fire up their computer. And what's the first thing they check?
Email, news.
Yeah. Until they go to their very first
social media app.
Yep. Or they have their first, or they have a meeting and they get out and they got 5 minutes. So they check
email.
Email. Yeah. And then somebody calls them and asks, hey, do you got a minute? And this literally repeats all day long. And for the people who are listening, have you ever gotten to the end of the day knowing you were really busy and genuinely questioning if you got anything done? It's super common. And that is the problem. In our society, people spend their time, or they say, I got time to kill. Yet we know that time is more valuable than money. And on this show, you talk about how do you invest in real estate to get the best returns possible. This is about being as purposeful in the investment of your time as it is your dollars. And this is a journey that I've personally been on. You and I connected prior to me co-founding this company 5.5 years ago. At the time, I was in medical device sales, which was a great job. But deep down, I knew I was meant for more. But I think a lot of people know that, but they don't have enough pain in their lives to force them to make a change. Well, two things happened in my life that set me on that course. First, a colleague of mine had a stroke. And at the time, he was just 35. And I remember my wife and I just bought a house in Orange County. We just had our first child. My wife decided to become a stay-at-home mom. And I remember standing in my kitchen wondering if what happened to my colleague had happened to me, what would happen to my family? That was super unsettling. And then the very next week, my company changed my commission structure. And overnight, I lost 40% of my income. And that's when I realized, okay, I actually need to take control of my career and our income. And so I heard this Jim Rohn quote that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Looked at my five, said, I've got five amazing friends, but I have zero amazing mentors. And that became my one thing at the time. Let me just upgrade my five. And at the time, I thought I wanted to become a professional real estate investor, doing what you're doing now, syndicating deals, trying to take down commercial assets. And as I started going through the process, I realized I love real estate. I always want to invest in real estate. I have zero business being a principal, syndicating money. And that's when I really was lost. Well, what the heck am I going to do? next week, I walk into our national sales meeting and I sit down in the room. There's about 1,000 people from the company in this room. And on every single chair was a copy of The One Thing. And I looked at the book and I went, okay, that's kind of cool. And then Jay Papazian, who co-authored The One with Gary Keller, walked out on stage. And for the next hour, he just blew my mind. And he was telling why The One Thing is the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results, and how Gary used, literally lived these principles to turn Keller Williams from a small little real estate company in Austin, Texas, to the number one real estate company in the world. And he became a self-made billionaire as a result. The whole time I'm sitting in the audience, I'm thinking to myself, how do I get a guy like Jay or Gary to be one of my five? And when he finished speaking, long story short, I cornered him when he came off stage. What I didn't know was that The One Thing had already become the highest rated business book of all time. And they were looking for somebody whose one thing could be the one thing. And that became my opportunity. So 5.5 years ago, November 1st, 2015, moved my family from Southern California to Austin, Texas. Gary, Jay, and I co-founded this company, and we've just been on a tear ever since.
Amazing. So you're partnering, and what does your company do? You're consultants, correct?
We are trainers, consultants. We change the way people view time.
I love it.
Whether you're an individual, a team, or an organization, we have really simple ways for you to get clear on the things that matter most and actually make sure that your calendar reflects those things. So you do the most important things and you actually live an extraordinary life.
Yeah, that's really an incredible story, Jeff. You know, we had connected a long time ago, and just to see where you've come, you've obviously come in a tremendous way. And, you know, we were talking before the show, that sort of concept, The One Thing, at least in the way that I've applied it in my life. Like, I have a one thing this year, that my one thing, my one goal for this year is to launch this very daily podcast. And it's really required me to, it's actually asking that question has allowed me to just focus on it and make sure that that's the priority. So let's now talk about what it is about time that, you know, you think we are not really doing well as a society.
Yeah, well, there are these lies of productivity that stop us from achieving more. And I remember back when I was getting educated on real estate investing and learning about, okay, what kind of asset do I want to go after? Do I want to do residential? Do I want to go duplex, quads? Do I want to go commercial? What do I want to do? I looked at all of them, but then realized, all right, I need to focus on one. Because if you chase too many different type of horses or rabbits, you're not going to catch any of them. And the problem is most people, their day is driven by their calendars and whatever is at the top of their inbox. Yeah, let me ask you the question. Do you think what's at the top of their inbox or what's currently on their calendar is what matters most?
No.
Definitely not. And that's what drives their day. And so this is just about a fundamental timeout. If we keep going through our days reacting to the things that do not matter as much, what will actually happen over our lifetime? We will live an average or an ordinary life. And unfortunately, ordinary for many people means a life of regret. And this is about asking the question, professionally and personally, what are my goals for my life? I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about someday from now. If you ask somebody, what are their goals for 10 years from now or 20 years from now? A lot of people will look at you like a deer in the headlights and say, I don't know, because they've never been given permission to search that far. Yet, if you give yourself that permission and you get that sense, not absolute clarity, but just directionally correct, you can then reverse engineer back to, okay, well, what do I think I have to accomplish in the next 5 years? That's still tough for a lot of people to figure out, and you can do it. But that brings a lot of perspective when you ask, what do I need to be focusing on the next 12 months? Suddenly it's not, ooh, what are all the shiny objects? It's what are the things that I'm going to say yes to that are purposefully in alignment with a bigger vision for my life, personally and professionally. And then being able to break it down to the point that you could say, I am clear that these are the handful of dominoes that I must knock down this week to be on track for that vision. And therefore, it better be on my calendar. So how do I create a world where I block time for myself to do the most important things and everything else has to flow around that?
I love it. And so what sorts of tactics or strategies do you end up finding to be most effective with your clients? Like, just give us some ideas.
Well, so much of this is about learning to ask questions and search for the answer, which unfortunately we didn't learn to do in school. In school, we were taught to memorize and have the answer, but we were not taught how to get comfortable being asked big questions and searching past the wall of, I don't know. That's one of the first things, is we have to get comfortable with those questions. And based on searching for that clarity, how do you then turn it into small actions that you can take? People are great at setting goals for the year. They're great at saying, yep, this is what I want to accomplish this year. But then they go and they try to do everything and they fail, versus taking that big goal and being able to break it down into really simple actions that they can take today, that by knocking that domino down, all the other dominoes start to fall.
Do you think that folks also need to scale back their 1 year goals? I mean, because sometimes people are like, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. And okay, let's talk about that. So how do you get around? I mean, I know there's this concept of dominoes. Can you explore that more with us?
Yeah, sure. Well, let's go dominoes and then remind me about the size of goals. Back in 2009, there was a group in the Netherlands, Weijer Domino Productions. They broke the world record for domino falls. They lined up 4.5 million dominoes. I don't know about you. My max is 28 because that's how many come in a box. But I want you to imagine being the leader of that group, standing in front of 4.5 million dominoes. Just imagine what that would look like. Now play with me here. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and knock the first domino down. One, two, three. How much effort did that take?
Not much.
Almost effortless.
So you're talking about actual dominoes, like the little ones?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
I'm talking about legitimate two-inch dominoes. So here's what's crazy. When this leader knocked that lead domino down, they unleashed more than 94,000 joules of energy, which for all of you who are not scientists or engineers who don't understand what that means, imagine if I asked you to do 545 consecutive push-ups, how much energy that would take. That's how much energy you just unleashed with the flick of a finger. Now, here's why we share this. Small actions in our lives can unleash massive reactions. In fact, back in 1983, a guy named Lorne Whitehead published in the American Journal of Physics that a two-inch domino did not just knock down one of equal size. It could actually go 50% larger. So two could knock over three. Three could knock over 4.5 inches. By the 18th domino, you'd knock down the Leaning Tower of Pisa. By the 23rd domino, Eiffel Tower. 31st domino, you're 3,000 feet above Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world. And by just the 57th domino, you could build a structure that would reach from the Earth to the Moon. If you graph it out, it's exponential. So it's like, it looks like nothing's happening and boom, extraordinary results. You know what else is like that? Compound interest. It's like a long, long train that's moving too slow to be noticed until it's moving too fast that it just cannot be stopped. And this is the opportunity that we have in our lives. Instead of thinking big, imagining that 57th domino that reaches from the Earth to the Moon, we have an opportunity to start going small. To identify that two-inch domino that is so small that effortlessly with the flick of a finger it falls, but because the dominoes are lined up, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary. So let's go back to your question. Should we scale back our goals? Absolutely not. Here's why. Gary was teaching a class for the top real estate agents in the world, and he asked the question, what is the purpose of a goal? What do you think the purpose of a goal is?
To get yourself at least closer to achieving it. Like, I mean, it's not to achieve the goal, but to move yourself forward.
I remember sitting there thinking to achieve a result. And Gary said, I've learned that that's not the truth. He said, the purpose of a goal is to be appropriate in the moment. And what he means by that is that your goal is a compass that should allow you to understand right now, is doing what I'm doing the most appropriate thing that I could be doing in alignment with that goal? For you, if your one thing is launching the podcast, you are being appropriate in the moment right now. So if the purpose of a goal is not whether or not we achieve the result, but more about who's the person we need to become, should we set big goals or small goals?
Big goals.
Big goals. In fact, if you were to ask Gary if he's ever achieved his goals, he'd say no. You know why? The moment he realizes he's on track, he raises the goal because it requires him to evolve the person he needs to become. Now, here's the other thing. How much effort did it take to knock that little domino down?
Not much.
Not much.
I have a question about this because it's been on my mind.
Yeah. Go.
But how much effort did it take to set up 4.5 million dominoes?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, isn't that, but like, and then just like, you know, spitballing here. So when I think about the effort that's required for me to launch this podcast, it feels like a lot of effort, actually. You know, it's my one thing and I'm focusing on it, but at least right now, and then hopefully it'll get to a point where it's more streamlined and then we have my systems in place. But yeah, I'm just curious what you think about that.
Yeah, well, so there's thinking big and acting big, and there's thinking big and going small. Thinking big, I'm going to launch this daily podcast. Acting big, let me make a list of all the things that have to happen, and I view doing it all. The path to getting everything you want is to get one thing at a time. The way you've gotten to where you are is you cast the big vision, but you started by going small. You took one action, and by taking that action and knocking that domino down, it automatically got you up to knock the next one down, which automatically got you up to knock the next one down. And if your actions are the right actions in alignment with your goal, over time, extraordinary becomes possible. So that's the moral of the story here. The problem is people cast a big vision for their lives and they tell themselves they have to do everything, but they don't work it backwards to identify what are the dominoes that I need to knock down one at a time and make sure that my calendar reflects my priorities and not everyone else's. That's the opportunity.
Yeah, I love it. And I really love the physical image of the domino because it's so achievable. And that's the whole point, right? Is that when focusing on the next achievable task at hand that will get you to that, towards that bigger goal.
Yeah. And this is the focusing question of the book. It's what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary. And we all have more than one thing, but it's one thing at a time. What's the lead domino, the most appropriate thing that I can do right now that if I just knock that domino down, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary?
It's a powerful question. A very, very powerful question. And it's very kind of liberating, right? Because for things to get easier or unnecessary is such a nice idea if that's going to help us move us closer towards our goals.
Yeah. It's liberating if you know what your one thing is. Most people who, if they were to ask themselves, okay, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary, they are going to think, I don't know. That is not liberating. But let me ask you a question. If you don't know what your one thing is, what do you think your one thing is?
To figure out your one thing.
To figure out what your one thing is.
Yes.
And it's why on the back of the book, instead of having testimonials, they have a giant question mark that at the bottom asks, what's your one thing? Because Gary and Jay sat down and they asked, after somebody reads this, if they could only do one thing, what would it be? And the answer was, start asking, what's my one thing? In fact, if you formed the habit of asking that question, that would be the success habit, which was almost the title of the book. So let's bring it back to your people. You can apply this to investments. What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it would make generating the best possible return easier or unnecessary? What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it would make completing my raise easier or unnecessary? What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it would make completing this due diligence easier or unnecessary? What's the one thing I can do such that by doing it would allow me to increase the net operating income easier or unnecessary? Like, you can apply it to any area within real estate. And what's the one thing I can do for my marriage such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or necessary? What's the one thing I could do in the relationship with my kids, for my finances, my spirituality, my physical health? You can name it at any area of your life and understand that your goal is to identify a lead domino that, if knocked down, could unleash a massive reaction in your life.
I love it. I don't know if you have these on the top of your head, but I would be curious to see what some of your one things have been over the past few years.
That's a good question. There is a quote in The One Thing from F.M. Alexander. People do not decide their futures. They decide their habits, and their habits decide their futures. It's really the truth. Your results are just a lagging measure of your habits. And Warren Buffett said it really well. The habits of our lives are like chains that are too loose to be noticed until they're too tight to be broken. The reason I share this with you is when I identify a one thing, there are the tactical, like today, What was my one thing? I can tell you it was investing a certain amount of time on a proposal for a company. That was hands down the one thing, no questions. At any point in time in my life, I am clear on what's the one habit that I am missing that if I formed would transform this area of my life. My very first 66-day challenge, which is something that we do. It takes on average 66 days to form a habit, not 21, not 30. Sorry, folks, 66. University College of London, 2009, they proved it. My very first habit that I wanted to form was the habit of clarity and the habit of priority. And the one thing I could do, we have a framework called a 411. It's a tool that gives you clarity on your priorities. Also stands for 4 weeks, 1 month, 1 year. So you have clarity on the dominoes you need to knock down each of the 4 weeks to be on track for your month, to be on track for your year. My one thing was to check my 411 before I checked my email, meaning I would check my priorities before I checked everyone else's. That's the habit I wanted to form. That habit changed my life because it felt like I suddenly saw the world in color for the first time when I'd been living my entire life in black and white and never knew it. Because all of a sudden I no longer just checked my email because I just check my email. I actually looked at email for what it was, oftentimes a big distraction. Clarity, I still check email from time to time, but not as much as I did before, not habitually, not reactively. I check my priorities. I have clarity on what my 20% priorities are that are going to drive 80% of my results at all times. And that sets me up to make sure that my calendar actually reflects my priorities, which means I actually do the most important things on a weekly basis, which is why I'm able to achieve so much more than the average person in way less time. This is what we teach people to do. That was one option. Another option I learned, or another one thing that I had, was to form the habit of asking great questions. And the lead domino was I just had to ask a question once a day when I naturally would have given somebody an answer. That habit changed my life. Not only did it transform me as a leader, as an advisor, it transformed me as a husband and as a father. I have mastered the art of asking amazingly powerful questions that expand people's minds. You should hear my 8-year-old daughter and the stuff that comes out of her mouth as a result.
That's awesome. I love it. And those two habits are, I mean, it's just, there's so much there that we could definitely go into for a long time. I want to just touch on one thing that before we start to wrap up, you mentioned different areas of your life that you like consider applying the one thing to. Can you just talk about the importance of applying this tactic to different areas of your life?
They're connected. There's something that we call the halo effect, which is when you focus on one area, it spills over into another. For any of you who have ever been in a romantic relationship ever, you know what it feels like to have conflict in that relationship. And I'll ask the question, when things aren't good at home, does that affect your focus at work?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is not just about having an extraordinary career or extraordinary investments. This is about living an extraordinary life, being able to live a life of no regret. And at the end of the day, well, I'll say it differently. Page 114 of the book, we have what's called the 7 circles. These are the 7 most important areas of your life. And starting at the top, it's spirituality, because every single one of us at some point is going to wonder why we're here. Then we have our physical health, because if you don't have your body, sorry, where are you going to live? Then you have your personal life. These are the things you do for yourself that make you the best version of yourself. Then you have your key relationships, then your job, then your business, then your finances. What's interesting is that most people who are probably listening to this, if they're listening to a podcast, they're a high achiever. Most people slant toward focusing on job, business, and finances. Those are rubber balls. You drop them, you can get them back. But spirituality, your physical health, your personal life, your key relationships, those are glass balls. You drop those, they can be scuffed or completely shattered. Our society rewards and idolizes people for hustling and grinding in business and building wealth, but it doesn't focus on spiritual connection, health, living a vibrant personal life and deep, meaningful, connected relationships. You cannot live an extraordinary life if you do not look at the whole person, period.
Definitely. Such an important point and appropriate way to end. Thank you, Jeff, so much. So many words of wisdom there. And it's definitely part of the reason that we focus on passive income and MBA is so that people can spend less time and have less stress worrying about their finances and more time on the other aspects of their life that deserve just as much attention, if not more. So thank you so much for that powerful description. now I'd love for you to take a moment to tell the leaders, the listeners, how they can get a hold of you and anything else you'd like to share.
Yes, sure. So first, the website, our website is theonething.com. That's with the number one in the URL. So the number one thing.com. The book and the podcast are The One Thing, and that's all spelled out. The O-N-E-T-H-I-N-G. Subscribe to the podcast. It's in the top 5% in the world. It's pretty good. And you can learn more about what we do there. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm on LinkedIn. Just search Jeff Woods. You can see my name in the title, and I spell it the British way. I just didn't get the accent, which would have been real cool.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Jeff, for coming on. It's been a real treat and privilege to have you here, and look forward to seeing you again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.